Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, I began a series talking about those great men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and we want to continue that this morning. I'm so glad that you've joined us, and I appreciate the opportunity to study from God's Word. We've entitled our series, Though He Be Dead, Yet He Speaks. I talked about how the dead speak to us, not literally with voices, but they speak to us through their example, through their story, through their history, through their life that is recorded on the pages of Scripture. And they teach us and they speak to us very important lessons about faith and about the right relationship we need to have with God. Last week, I talked about Abel. He's the one specifically that says, though he be dead, yet he speaks. I talked about Abel, I talked about Enoch, and I had just started talking about Noah when we had to finish the program, and I want to begin there this morning. I'm so glad that you're with us. Noah is dead and has been dead for many years, and yet he speaks to us. How does he do that? And what would he say? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. What would Noah say to us? What does he say to us? Well, I began last week by talking about how that Noah would say that you can live a righteous life in a very wicked world. And we talked about that. He was living in a very wicked world, and God would punish that world with a worldwide flood. But yet we're told that Noah was a righteous man, Genesis 6, 9, and Noah walked with God. You can be right, and you can do God's will in a very wicked world. But what else would Noah say to us? Well, another thing that he would say is that when God warns of a coming judgment, it is best to obey his plan of salvation so that you and your household can be saved. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet. Noah was warned of God. God told him, I am going to destroy the world. In chapter 6 and verse 13, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. And then some instructions about how to build that ark. He was warned of God, of things not seen as yet. Two things there. When God gives us warning, and he does the same on the New Testament pages, the scripture there on the pages of the New Testament, he gives us warning of a coming judgment day, that Jesus is coming again. There will be a great judgment day. Some will go to heaven, some will go to hell. Do we take that warning seriously like Noah did? Now, the judgment day will not be a worldwide flood. God said that the rainbow in Genesis 9 shows that there will not be a flood like that ever again. But there is a coming judgment day of a different kind. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says it's not going to be a flood, it's going to be fire. The earth and the works therein will be burned up. There will be no more earth. We will all stand before God in a judgment day. So do we take that warning seriously? Another thing Noah would say is that even though you haven't seen something yet, when God says it's going to happen, it's true. There had not been a worldwide flood. Nobody had seen that. So he was warned of things that he had not seen. And when Jesus comes again and the judgment day, these will be new things, things that have never been seen before, but we're told the truth of those matters from God on the pages of Scripture. And so we need to take that seriously. We can't say, well, I've never seen that. Noah could have said that and said, well, we've never seen that, so it's not going to happen. No, even things that have never been seen will happen if God says they will. And Noah would certainly tell us that. He would also tell us the importance of being moved with godly fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Godly respect and fear. Noah did all that God commanded. after God gave Noah some of the instructions on how to build the ark, the height and the breadth and the length of it, and some other things involving the dimensions and the makeup and the gopher wood and other things. Chapter 6, verse 22 of Genesis says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did." And then a few verses later, "And Noah did according to all that Jehovah commanded him." Noah would say, just do what God commands you to do. And it's that simple. We don't need to resist. We don't need to rebel. We need to have a godly fear. This is a respect for God's word to do his commandments. Noah would say it is worth having that attitude in life going throughout the day. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah would also say that it's important to save your wife and your children, and if they're married to anyone. Being right with God, being a Christian today, is not just for me individually, it's for my family. And I might not be able to save everybody in the community or in the state of Tennessee or even in the country or the world, but I can certainly save my family. And I need to work hard to do that. I need to marry someone who will be a Christian. I need to raise my children to obey the gospel. That takes work from their youth up, reading them God's word, having them a part of a church service where they can learn more about God's word and how to worship. We're seeing today in many families, they are messed up. There's many problems, and they are not on the way to heaven. They're not in the ark, if you will. And there's going to be a problem in the judgment day. Many people are going to be lost. Noah would say, get on that ark and get your family on that ark. And today, it's not an ark. Today, it's the New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation, to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, to be willing to confess that, to repent of our sins, and to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38 and other passages. But Noah would say, salvation is for you and for your entire family. Do what you can to save them. And he would also say that when you do what is right with God, the world's not going to like it. And in verse 11, he made this ark, he prepared this ark, and that would have been very difficult, very large boat for he and his sons to make. And the text says, through which he condemned the world. I believe he did that not necessarily by going around saying to everybody, you're condemned, you're condemned. He was a preacher of righteousness. We know that from 2 Peter 2. We don't know what his sermons were like, the specific messages that he was given, we're not told. He may have had condemning, scathing rebuke kinds of messages. But this statement, I believe, talks about how that when he did what was right, he showed that the world was condemned because they were not doing what was right. And when you follow God's word and obey God's word, you're going to condemn the world in that sense. And they're not going to like that. But you have to keep doing what God's word says, and you'll be rewarded greatly for it. He was saved. The water of that great flood bore that ark up. There was all kinds of death and destruction underneath the water. He and his family were saved on top of the water in that ark. We're saved today in the Lord's church. We have to get in the body of Christ, and we're baptized into that body. And Peter makes that point in 1 Peter chapter 3, that water saves. That water bore up that ark and saved Noah from that death and destruction. And in a like figure, in a like manner, baptism doth also now save you, Peter says. We're separated from sin and death. And so it's very important, and Noah would say that it is worth it. And he would also say, the verse 11 says, he became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. This is an obedient faith. Notice, and you'll notice in these lessons in chapter 11, often when faith is mentioned, then some verb of action follows. So by faith, Noah prepared an ark. There's your action, prepared an ark. So faith works, faith obeys, and faith is active. And he would say, when you have that active kind of faith, it is worth it to be an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. There is an inheritance given to people who have the righteousness, which is according to faith. And you can be one of those heirs. You can be one of those inheritors of righteousness, being described as right by God, not by the world and not by what we think or feel, but God says that we are right when we have that obedient faith. And we can be heirs of that righteousness. We can be a part of that great family, God's family, that inherits the state of righteousness because we have had an active faith. And so, yes, Noah would definitely say it is worth it to heed God's warning about things to come, obey God's plan of salvation. And for us today, it's the New Testament gospel. For Noah, it was the ark. Get your family on there. Save them. Do what God says and be made right with God. And when Noah and his family stepped out of the ark at the end of Genesis chapter 8, when all of it is over with and he offers up a sacrifice to God, chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons. Noah would say, yes, it is all worth it. And we'll receive a blessing from God when we have that same obedient faith. The author of Hebrews goes on to say and bring out another Old Testament worthy, and that is Abraham. To get his story, you can find it at the end of Genesis chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we read in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is the story where God chose Abraham to leave his homeland, the city of Ur of the Chaldees, over toward modern-day Iraq and Iran, where the Tigris and the Euphrates River come together. And God chose that he would be an individual, Abraham would be an individual, from which many blessings would flow eventually all the way to Jesus Christ. But it begins by calling a man out of a comfortable living. At this time, Ur of the Chaldees was a metropolis area. It was a very nice city. They were known for a nice standard of education, a nice standard of living, a good economy. And Abraham is told to leave and make a very long journey over to a completely different place. And the text says that Abraham did that by faith. What Abraham, like all these others, he's dead and been dead many years, he would say to us, he would speak to us and say, it is worth it to obey God. And he would say, sometimes when God asks you to do something, it's going to be challenging to leave your homeland, to make a dry, dusty, dirty trip for hundreds of miles, and to go to a completely different place, to leave your comfort zone, to leave what you're used to, and make great sacrifices. Abraham would say that it is worth it. And there are some times when, even in the New Testament gospel plan, in the Lord's church today, God asks us to do some things sometimes that are challenging and sacrificial in nature. And Abraham would say, do that. Abraham, by faith, obeyed. Notice that. Again, you have the word faith, and then you have a verb of some sort. Back in verse 4, by faith Abel offered. There's your action. Verse 5, by faith Enoch walked with God, you see. And we talked about the idea of walking back in Genesis chapter 5. In verse 9, verse 7 and following, Noah prepared an ark, and Abraham went out. He obeyed to go out. So faith is active, but it may involve great challenges, great sacrifices. And so he did that. Abraham would also say, when God tells you to do something, you don't always have to know in advance all the details. He went out not knowing whether he went. He did not know all of the things that God had for him. He knew geographically how to travel to Palestine, but he did not know all of the things that God would have for him in the future. And yet he did it anyway. And there's some things about going to heaven. There's a lot of things about going to heaven that we're given details about in the Word of God. And some things we're not given details. We need to pray about it. We need to trust God about it. There are a lot of things in life that we may not fully understand as to why God allows this or that, or why he wants me to do this or that. And yet we need to do it because he knows what is best for us. He became a sojourner in the land of promise and in a land not his own. He went from a place where he belonged and no doubt owned his own home in the Ur of the Chaldees to a place that was not his own. Again, sacrifices and changes, you see. But ultimately, he looked to go to heaven. He looked for the city which hath the foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And we get the word architect from that word builder. God is the grand architect, not only of the universe, but heaven, a prepared home and place for us. But Abraham would say that it is good to make sacrifices and make changes in order to serve the Lord. The story and account of that is in Genesis chapter 12. And because Abraham was willing to do that, he would be blessed. And when we make great sacrifices and changes, it might be giving up something in the world. It might be giving up sin and bad habits and worldly friendships and associations, whatever the sacrifices are, Abraham would say, it is worth it. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, now Jehovah said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. And I will make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curses thee I will curse. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham went as Jehovah had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance and that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is preaching about this, he talks about how he first was called and left Ur, and then here we find that he was called again north of there in Haran, and he went from there and came on into the land of Canaan. Look at that statement. And into the land of Canaan they came. By faith, Abraham obeyed to go out and make that great sacrifice and that great journey. And he is speaking to us today saying, do the same. Now, when Abraham and Sarah get over into the land of Canaan, there are different things that take place there, different stories and different events where Abraham is showing that he's living and walking by faith. There are different things that God has for him to do, and he's obedient in those things. One of the things that God says with regard to this nation blessing is that a great nation will come from him, and it will be through the promised child Isaac that he and Sarah are going to have. And it's not going to be through a servant that he had. It's not going to be through that. It's not going to be through a child, Ishmael, that he's going to have with his handmaid, Hagar. It's going to be with he and his wife who are elderly. They're older. And God says, it'll be a child that you two have, you and Sarah have. And both of them laughed. And one other thing that both Abraham and Sarah, they're both dead, they would speak to us and they would say, trust God. There's nothing too hard for God. And when God says something about your life, you trust that and you don't laugh about that. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11, we continue on. By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. Wherefore also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the heaven in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So both Abraham and Sarah were older, and yet God says, you two will have a child. Where do we read about that? Well, in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 15, God said to Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will bless thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be of her. And that's exactly what happened later with the 12 sons of Jacob and Judah, for example. There would be many kings that would come from Judah in the days of the United Kingdom and the Divided Kingdom. Kings would come. But notice what we find. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before me. And God said, no, but Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his seed after him. Later in chapter 18 and verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She was past the natural age of childbirth, and Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And Jehovah said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child who am old? Is anything too hard for Jehovah? At the set time I will return unto thee, when the season comes round, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. And we know from Hebrews chapter 11 that eventually Sarah believed, and there's her faith in verse 11. But there was a time when they laughed, and they had to learn that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. That's a very extremely important passage to remember, friends. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And when the Lord makes promises, and there are promises in the New Testament of answered prayer, of forgiveness of sins, of the hope of heaven, God will keep his promises. We need to keep our obedience in him. But both of them would say, trust in the Lord and take it very seriously. And when God says something, it may run counter to human wisdom. It runs counter to human wisdom that a child is going to be born to someone who's 190. It's going to run counter to all physics or biology or physical kinds of things. But when God says he's going to do that, he's going to do that. And he did. And we know that Abraham and Sarah had a child, and they called him Isaac. And in him, the blessings would continue. In his son Jacob, the blessings would continue all the way eventually to Jesus Christ. So trust in God. That's what Abraham and Sarah would say. Being dead, if they had an opportunity to speak, that's what they would say. Look also at verse 13 with regard to these individuals, particularly Abraham and his family. These all died in faith. Literally, they died according to faith. They died according to a life of obedient faith, and that's the way to die. Not having received the promises, those three promises, the land promise, the nation promise, and the seed promise that was fulfilled in Christ, Galatians 3, those things were ultimately fulfilled many years after Abraham died. He was a sojourner. He was told about these promises, but he didn't see the complete fulfillment of them. He simply had to trust that they were going to take place long after he died, and he was willing to trust that and believe in that. I'm still going to live my life of faith, even though I don't immediately see the things that are promised. But having seen them and greeted them from afar, he did believe. Well, one day, people who come from my loins will inhabit this land, and they will be a great nation. And one day, Jesus Christ will come. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. So they're looking from afar, seeing these things, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. Abraham was not looking backward, saying, I wish I could go back to my country of the Ur of the Chaldees. When he left, and he kept his eyes moving forward, and not just forward, but a better country that is a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Abraham believed in the afterlife that he could go be with God in a heavenly country and a heavenly city. He was not looking back, wishing that he could always go back. And so when you go forward, you keep your eyes on heaven. Friends, that's one last thing that I want to talk about this morning that Abraham would say. He would say, leave the world behind. We still live in the world. We have to function in the world, but leave it behind with regard to our priorities and keep our eyes set on things that are above. Paul will write that in Colossians 3, 1 and following. Set your mind on things that are above. Seek those things that are above, heaven, and I'm going to obey the gospel now so that I can go there, and I'm going to live faithfully each day. I'm going to keep my mind on going to heaven. That's going to be my focus. That's what Abraham would tell us to do. Thank you for being with us this morning on the program. And these individuals that have been dead many years speak to us grand and glorious and great lessons. Let's put them into practice in our lives. And if I can help you to do that, please contact us. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.